This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
George Gillum joins me live in studio, as well as Christina Lopez-Gattardi. They're with the Miller Center of Public Affairs online at millercenter.org, and they're the good folks that bring us every month all the quality speakers and big names that come to Charlottesville for the Miller Center Public Forum program, which is free, open to the public. All you need to do is get there early and get a good seat, or if you can't make it, you can watch it online, webcast live at millercenter.org. Happy Monday to you both. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here. How was Thanksgiving at your house?
It was nice. I went down to Miami to visit family, so I enjoyed some great weather.
I bet you did. It was gorgeous.
70 degrees and very sunny.
I used to live in Florida. And actually, after a while, that's the one thing I didn't like, was that it was, well, you know, it's like 90 degrees and humid at 7 in the morning. But in the middle of winter, it's like summer. It was really weird and surreal.
Yeah, but we had perfect weather. There was no humidity and, you know, very sunny skies. I have to say, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the change of pace.
Good. Now, your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal was?
Was the turkey.
You did? You
it was, it? Yeah. My mom was a very good cook.
Good.
So.
How about you, George? How was Thanksgiving at your house?
It was terrific. And actually, we had some 70-degree weather here, too.
Yeah.
One of the days.
It was nice.
It got a little chilly.
Very different from today.
Very different.
Can you believe how dark it is out there right now? This is amazing. It's like living in Canada or Alaska or something.
Yeah, Greenland.
Yeah, it's very strange. So thank you both for coming in. We want to talk about all the good things that are going on at the Miller Center this month, and we might get a preview of next month. And we also want to talk today, if we can, about the whole process that goes into bringing these folks to town and how you figure out who you're going to invite and how you get them here and how you put this magical program together that we know is the forum program at the Miller Center, which so many folks here in our community have enjoyed for many, many years. Let's start, if we can, though, with what's on the slate for December.
Well, December is student exam month.
I remember those days.
Remember those days?
Yeah. And not affectionately, but
some of our guests have to take exams, and some of our guests in the room have to take exams, and some of the hosts have to administer and then grade exams. And so we always lighten up a little bit in December.
Yeah.
People's attention turns to preparations for getting the family together for holiday celebrations, and so we always lighten up. We had scheduled three events, one of which had to be canceled because our proposed speaker, Greg Jaffe, is covering the president's announcement about Afghanistan and then preparing to go to Afghanistan himself.
Yeah. And he's doing that from West Point, right?
This week.
Tomorrow. I believe.
Oh, is it really? Is it that soon? Wow.
But Greg Jaffe will come down in the spring once he returns from Afghanistan. And in many respects, that is preferable to his coming now. It'd be nice to get some firsthand reporting once he has been to Afghanistan and seen what's happening on the ground. But this Friday, Coy, December 4th at 11 o'clock, Justice Scalia is going to be the subject of a talk by Joan Biskupic, who is the Supreme Court reporter for USA Today. She has written a new book on Scalia, which I'm very interested in. Scalia was a junior faculty member when I was a student in the law school here in the late 60s. Back when dinosaurs still trod the surface of the earth. But I remember him.
Did you take a class with him?
I didn't. I wasn't smart enough for one of his classes. But I remember him well and favorably. He was well-liked by the students, very smart, very accessible. And frankly, I don't think most people thought that this is where he would end up. He's a very good scholar. He has very strongly held and well-developed views.
Yeah.
Many of which I don't agree with, But I'm still looking forward to having Joan Biskubic here, because she's an excellent writer and we'll all learn a lot about his approach to being a Supreme Court justice.
The few times that I have actually talked with Justice Scalia, which really one time was an extended phone conversation interviewing him for my dad's book on Senator Thurman, and I found him very likable, very friendly, incredibly intelligent, just a brilliant legal thinker. And not everybody agrees with his positions on things, but he certainly knows what he's talking about. There's no question about that.
He's very bright.
Yeah. So this is a woman who's got a new book on Justice Scalia. And again, this is...
That's this Friday.
This Friday, this week.
Joan Biskubic did another great book on the court and spoke at the Miller Center 3 years ago, I believe. And... she's an excellent speaker. She's a good storyteller. She's a great writer. So it should be a very good event for people who are interested in the contours of justice as modeled by Justice Scalia.
Yeah. George, before I forget, and I couldn't make it this morning, but you had a speaker this morning that I really wanted to see, and I just couldn't get away from where I was. But how did that go this morning?
Bethany McLean,
yeah,
who covers failing businesses for Vanity Fair.
A busy beat.
She spoke mainly about Enron. She was the first journalist to throw up lots of red flags about Enron, and in fact wrote a article about a year before Enron failed, questioning their earnings, questioning the valuation placed on the stock, and so on, for Fortune magazine. And she then published a book called The Smartest Guys in the Room. And
which I didn't read, but I did see the documentary under the same name, and I strongly recommend both, because I didn't really understand it until I saw that documentary, and I was like, oh, that's what they were doing.
Well, Bethany McLean is a terrific speaker. We had a packed house for her today. A lot of McIntyre School and Darden School folks. And a lot of people who are in the money management business in Charlottesville, accountants. And she is a terrific speaker, very good storyteller. So it was a very good forum.
We're talking with George Gillum and Christina Lopez-Guitardi of the Miller Center of Public Affairs. Honored to have them live in studio. And Christina, there's another speaker coming to town in December, right?
Right. Our last one for the semester is going to be James Kasin. He's going to be in on Monday, December 14th at 11 a.m. He was the former head of the U.S. Interest Section in Havana. His last post, actually, right after that, was as a U.S. ambassador to Paraguay from 2006 to 2008. But he's going to be talking about Cuba after the Castros are gone from power, sort of trying to assess what Cuba might look like, politically speaking, after the Castro brothers have left the scene. So he was actually in Havana during a very interesting time. In 2003, just as we went into war in Iraq, there was a very significant crackdown against dissidents, opposition members on the island. And so he is considered controversial by some and a hero by others in terms of his position with the opposition. He was very supportive of the opposition during his time there, frequently inviting a lot of them to the ambassador's residence and supplying them with, access to computers and literature and different things of that.
And of course, Castro's guys are out front writing down who's going in and out. And...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he's going to be commenting on his time in Cuba and on just kind of, giving an assessment of, we're nearing the 50th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution, believe it or not.
50 years. Wow.
Yeah. We're at 48.
I'm one of those people that sort of looks at the whole blockade, not the blockade, what's the word I'm looking for?
Embargo.
The embargo is, it just doesn't make any sense to me. After this long, it's like, what are we doing?
Well, I think that's it's also an interesting time to be looking at it because, there's been, at least during the campaign, some comment as far as the Obama administration beginning to reconsider, as most administrations, do and say they will, of reconsidering U.S.-Cuba policy. So he'll be able to comment on that as well.
Yeah. And you were down in Miami. Is that like the place where all of the folks, they want the
embargo lifted?
The embargo?
Lifted,
or they want it enforced?
Well, I mean, it's hard to give a kind of a one answer to that. It's becoming more of a hybrid view than I think it was, you know, let's say 20 years ago, when there was really much more of a hardline approach towards Cuba. And things are changing. I mean, as I said, almost 50 years have passed, nothing has changed. And even though I think at this point the embargo really holds much more of a sort of a symbolic value for Cuban Americans who fled in the 60s, more than it does a really practical policy.
Yeah, I would imagine that a lot of the new generation of Cuban Americans would be, why don't we lift this? You know, we might be able to bring more change if we lift this.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, and as you know, unfortunately, some of these generations pass on. You know, there's much more of the younger generations who are seeking change and seeking to travel there.
Yeah.
There have been some eases in terms of family reunification travel visits. But as far as tourism, as you know, that's not allowed.
Yeah, which used to be huge in the 50s.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Christina Lopez Guitardi and George Gillum of the Miller Center. And this guy, again, is coming. It's Monday the...
December 14th.
14th. Okay. George, let me ask you this. How do y'all choose who to bring? I mean, what a wonderful opportunity. You know, a fantastic facility. What a great brand, the Miller Center. And I imagine you have a lot of folks that all you got to do is say, hey, are you interested? And they say, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to come to Charlottesville. But how do you pick? How does this whole thing happen?
Well, we get suggestions from lots of different quarters. People who come to Miller Center Forum events typically are well-educated people. They're people who watch serious news, read serious blogs, read serious journals of fact and opinion, read the major daily newspapers. And they bring us a lot of great suggestions about people they've seen or people whose books they've read or whatever. And we treat all those suggestions very seriously. Some of them we know we want. Others we know probably wouldn't be right for the Miller Center Forum. But Christina and I each read fairly widely. Our interests are different. Christina knows a lot about a lot of things that I know nothing about. And so I think we complement each other well, and we talk all the time. And she will send me an article. I may send her a YouTube a clip from The Daily Show, somebody I've seen with Jon Stewart, who, frankly, I consider to be a serious moderator. He reads a lot. He's a smart guy.
Well, of course, he's a William & Mary graduate.
He's a William & Mary graduate. But we look at a lot. We talk to a lot of people, and we get a lot of good suggestions. Ultimately, I would say that the Miller Center Forum is a reflection of our sense of the mission of the Miller Center, which is to look at issues that affect the governance of America and the politics of America. And I think it's a reflection of basically the way our interests fit in with what we see as the mission of the Miller Center.
How did it start, this program?
This program started in the 1970s. The then director, Ken Thompson, started by bringing in university professors for what was basically a very intimate conversation. It was held in a room that seated about 30 people around a table. And it was typically university professors, some outside guests, and it grew over the years. And when I took over the program 7 years ago, it was Ken Thompson had established it as a very good brand and with a very heavy tilt towards foreign policy. That was his interest. My interest is more in the domestic policy area, domestic politics. So it's maybe tilted a little bit more that way recently. And simply because of the generational difference, most of the people that Ken knew were of his generation. Most of the people that I know are a generation younger. And so the people we select, I think, reflect those differences.
Let me ask you both. We've got a couple of minutes left here. Let me ask you both, start with Christina. Your favorite speaker you've seen at the Miller Center so far? And then perhaps somebody that hasn't come yet, that in an ideal world, if you invited them and they said yes, you'd love to see them come to Charlottesville to speak.
I have to say probably the first one that I moderated, which was a lot of fun, which was Dee Dee Myers. I just really enjoyed her. She just has a certain charisma. Of course, she was talking about a great topic about why women should rule the world. So she was a lot of fun. She kind of comes to mind. And the second question, let me think about it. I'll let George answer the first. And
George,
and
you got
go
a favorite?
Back.
One or two favorites you've brought to the Miller Center over the years?
There have been so many who are so good that I would really be hard pressed to pick a favorite. With many of these people, they come down a day or so before the forum. We have the chance to have dinner with them or have lunch with them. We get to know them as friends. There are some who we talk with very regularly who send us suggestions. One example of that is Christina was talking about Dee Dee Myers. Well, her husband, Todd Purdom, is one of the top writers, was for the New York Times, now for Vanity Fair.
Sure, yeah.
Todd sends me, emails regularly suggesting people who he thinks would be interesting guests.
Oh, that's great.
For us. So we develop these personal relationships. I would say I think one of the very, very smart people we've had, and he's coming back again in January, is George Packer, the New Yorker writer, very strong liberal, perhaps the most articulate non-academic voice of modern liberalism. But right after him, perhaps even within the same week, John Yoo, the law professor at Berkeley, who was one of the ones who wrote the memo that said you can go ahead and do enhanced interrogations. For many of the people that George Packer appeals to, John Yoo is an enemy of the people. And yet, John Yoo has been here before, and I like him immensely.
Who's gotten the biggest turnout of somebody that's come to the Miller Center? Does somebody come to mind?
Ted Kennedy. We had a huge crowd for Ted Kennedy. We've had crowds so large that we had to turn people away.
And you had a bunch of people last week for Richard Dreyfuss.
We did. Yeah. We did. And Sandra Day O'Connor had a huge turnout. Anytime we get somebody who's been on television.
Yeah, people want to see them.
People want to see them. They want to see what they look like in the flesh.
Christina, you know somebody you'd love to invite?
I mean, it's hard, just as George is, it's hard to pick somebody. I've become really interested just kind of reflecting on the Bush administration years. It'd be fascinating to get somebody like Condoleezza Rice, to get someone to speak, but very candidly, kind of a reflection upon.
That would make it worthwhile, of course.
I mean, there's so many people. I have a huge interest in Cuba, so there's a number of people that I would love to get, ideally if they could travel.
Well, there's so many stories out of Cuba that have yet to be told.
Most of the stories, I think, have yet to be told.
That's actually very exciting.
Scholarship-wise.
Christina Lopez Guittardi and George Gillum, they're with the Miller Center of Public Affairs, and you can learn more online at millercenter.org. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.